Holding a Siman Reish Seif Gimel. We're going to Seif Yud. Continuing with discussing burying on a Yom Tov. Now, as we explained, usually Yom Tov Rishon we use non-Jews. Yom Tov Sheni, like the Gemara says, Kechol Shav Yuraban, which means it's like a weekday. Nevertheless, as we'll see, there really is a split between the Sfaradim and Ashkenazim, the approach. According to the Ashkenazim, we still try to use non-Jews where there's not going to be a delay. Mashenken, according to the Sfaradim, it's like hutla, the machlekes of hutla and dechuya, which means if it's permissible, it's fully permissible. It's like literally, it's like a weekday. And anyway, we mentioned according to the Mishnah Feinstein today, we don't even do this. And as we'll see why, one of the reasons is because the fact that the non-Jews seeing the desecrating Yom Tov already will make them think, oh, so we don't really keep Shabbos or Yom Tov. And they're going to confuse the two. But in any rate, that's one of the reasons. So here we start off with the Yom Tov Sheni of Rosh Hashanah. Yom Tov Sheni of Rosh Hashanah is like Yom Tov, regularly a second day Yom Tov. In regard to burying, so even though usually we have more strictness when it comes to Yom Tov, second day of Yom Tov and Rosh Hashanah, even in Eretz Yisrael they keep it, etc., but not in regard to burying. So if they could do things without any delay, they should use a non-Jew. That's what the Kitzur says, and everything else that the Jews should do, like we already mentioned before, like the Tahara, and they could actually here they could be more lenient, that they could do the Tahara with cloth, you know, and we're not so worried about doing Shechita. They should try not to squeeze. Now, if you can't do it with a non-Jew, that's when we say Yisasku b'Yisrael. They should do whatever's needed. Do whatever you need in order to bury the mace on Yom Tov Sheni. Nevertheless, if there's a place where they already prepared the chichim for someone, other people, and therefore you're going to avoid the need to sew new clothing, so of course that you should get the existing clothing and not have to sew. As we explained, as much as you can minimize the melachas, definitely better. And this whole discussion of being busy burying is only if you're going to bury that day. But if they're not going to bury that day, meaning it's going to be after Yom Tov, then you're not going to do anything. Even tilt, even moving around the mace is not permitted. We did discuss there are sometimes eitzes to do so by putting a piece of bread or food on him and moving the mace if there's a big necessity. This idea, Kitzur says, of Rabbanan making Yom Tov Sheni like a chol, like a weekday, that's all for the honor of the mace. They shouldn't be degraded. So to do any other thing, you're not allowed to do. So for example, you're not allowed to stipulate with the owner of the linen that you're buying for the tachichim the exact amount and the payment and make deals, because that has nothing to do with the honor of the mace, unless it's another choice. Unless you're buying from non-Jew, they're not willing to sell it to you unless you do a regular sale. When it comes to those that are burying, so since they're working, I mean, they're doing something on Yom Tov, if they're going to charge, it's considered Tzchah Shabbos and Tzchah Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do that. And if they're not willing to do it for free, you should give them, and they're going to have to give Din Cheshbon after in Los Yadavi. Certainly doesn't sound like a good idea. The Chevek Kadisha should not take money for the land, only should take a mashkan, without stipulating how much, and then afterwards they make a deal. So that's not a problem, that's not considered Tzchal Yom Tov. If there's no place to bury, there's no Jewish cemeteries in the city where the person died, so even though technically speaking you can find some place to bury him, nevertheless you'll have to take him to another city. So on the Yom Tov Rishon, you need to use non-Jews. Yom Tov Sheni, technically, could do it even by using Jews. So there's a whole discussion in the place if you could use cars today. And like I said, if you go with the Mahal today, if still doing it, then there are those that are lenient, especially when it comes to the Kabranim, those that are bearing him. But not the Avelim. That really, someone once asked me the Shaleh, can you go as an Aval, even though he's not going to be participating in the burial? So that really goes into the next halacha. You're allowed to escort the mace and Yom Tov Rishon within the Tchum. Yom Tov Sheni, you could go even outside the Tchum. And you could go back home. But you're not allowed to ride in animals. So that means, and that's true even on Yom Tov Sheni, and even the Avim. So that answers the question of getting into a car. The only difference is that the Kabranim, people that are bearing, so if they could walk, they should. But if it's difficult to walk, they could ride. And that's what I said, so there's a term to use a car even. But even that, the Kitzur says not to ride in the city. And again, this is because of the public desecration of Yom Tov. And that's what gets a bit complicated, as man is there. Someone dies on the night of Yom Tov Sheni, where we said that the Jews are allowed to take care of the mace if there's no non-Jews around. So the best way to do it is to get 10 people to get up early and to bury him before they daven. Now, if he's a person that's chashav, so a lot of people need to escort him, so they bury him after shul, before eating. The reason is because there's a midrash that says, don't eat on the blood. What does that mean? You're not allowed to eat a meal before someone that died has been buried. But if they can't prepare all they need for their kvus, and then they should do it after the eating. A child that died after 30 days, that means he, and you know for 30 days, not a nefel, which means he wasn't a stillborn, he was a live, viable child. Just didn't make it after 30 days. So the halacha is, he's like any other mace. However, if he's a male, and for some reason they didn't circumcise him, so even though it delayed, obviously he's delayed in burying him, because he's already 30 days, you do not bury him on the first day of Yom Tov, because you have to remove his foreskin, and you're not allowed to do that to a non-Jew. So rather what you do is you wait till Yom Tov Sheni, and then the Jew is allowed to remove, and Yom Tov Sheni is allowed to remove his circumcision. But if it's a child that was a suffix nefil, which means we're not sure if he really was a viable child, I mean, didn't make it for 30 days. So if he did not really delay, that means he was not concerned that he's going to smell, etc. So we don't bury him on the first day, even using a non-Jew. We wait till Yom Tov Sheni, and then you bury him with a non-Jew, not through a Jew. Now, if he's been delayed, so you bury him on Yom Tov Rishon, even through a non-Jew. If he died on Yom Tov Sheni, so you bury him on that day using a non-Jew and not Jews. And if he's a male and he wasn't circumcised yet, even if he was delayed, you do not bury him until Yom Tov Sheni, and that's even using a non-Jew. Meaning to say, you don't bury him on Yom Tov Sheni. Again, if he's a nephil, you do not bury him even on Yom Tov Sheni, even using a non-Jew. Rather, we wait till after Yom Tov, and then you remove the foreskin.